Paul's words in Romans have kept us busy for 2,000 years now, trying to get, see, there's a whole anthropology that he's learned by experience with the Holy Spirit. And he's trying to mediate that, you see. I know that good does not dwell in me. That is, in my flesh. Well, Paul, what's your flesh? You just mean this? I mean, what do you mean by this word sarx, you see? It's that whole complex of aberrant drives that expresses itself through our bodily drives, through our emotions. That's the flesh. Well, how did it get so mixed up? Sin. First, you see, we're fragile and highly volatile. But what kept us stable, together, in every sense of the term, was the Holy Spirit. Then, at sin, the Holy Spirit left. And here we are. But we're not just back neutral. We're back with this drive toward destruction. And that's the sarx. That's why he says, I know that good does not dwell in me, that is, in my flesh. So it's this whole complex of drives that have a physical dimension. We feel them, right? You get mad, you feel it. You don't just think, I guess I'm mad. You're mad. Or jealous or whatever. Where does this come from? See, that's what he's trying to figure out. When it's just obedience to the law, you do the law, you do your best, and you know you're okay. But this is so much more. This is living by the very Spirit of God, having moving us. And the Spirit of God is moving, you see. This, the Word, Jesus, you see, breathes this Spirit back to the Father, who breathes it back to the Son. And they are bound by this person, the Spirit. And that's the Spirit who dwells in us. Well, it's a mess. For I do not do the good I want, but I do the evil I do not want. This is a fact, right? Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin dwells in me. Now, what is sin here? All those drives toward destruction. You see, hatred, anger, lust, jealousy. Well, you may have heard about them. You see, that's the flesh. And it expresses itself through the body. And so, you see, for I delight in the law of God in my inner self, the esoanthropos, the inner man. There's something in me that wants to do God's will, wants to know the Father and love Him. And, you know, but there's another law in my members, in my body, at war with the law of my mind, taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. This is the conflict, you see? Miserable man that I am, who will deliver me from this mortal body? When we're in heaven, it's going to be fine. It's here we have to worry about in getting to heaven. You see? Who will deliver me from this mortal body? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the way. That's the Eucharist. You know, to give our poor physical frame an indwelling power, principle, energy that will move us to the Father. And He's a divine person. And that's why we're in chapter 7, next chapter, tune in. That's the one where all the positive stuff is taught to us. And the key in that chapter is the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, many things we'll hear about. But the heart comes down, prayer. We don't know how to pray or what to pray or what to pray for. But the Spirit comes to our aid. And he prays within us and brings us along with himself if we want to go. Well, how kind can God be? He doesn't stand here and say, well, if you make it, you can come in, and if you don't, tough, does he? He becomes man and dies for us. And then the Father sends through his Son the Spirit to dwell in us to bring us back to him. And that, to feel that desire of the Father to bring us back to him, and to feel it like Jesus feels it, is to say, Abba. That's the prayer of Jesus. And to know that prayer, you know, I think I've told you this before. I was about 20 years old. I was praying in the chapel in the monastery. All of a sudden, this thing kept saying, Abba, Abba. Like I was moving toward God. And I said, I think that's in the Bible someplace. I mean, I didn't know anything. Well, it is in the Bible. It was nice because it was good instruction of what was going on. So now, of course, we don't have much time for the gospel. But the gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ was telling them and telling us, because the Spirit had it written down. Here it is 2,000 years later. We can still hear what he said. You know, you're smart. You know, if you're going to go out on a picnic, you out and, you know, well, now you turn on the radio and see what's going on. But look outside. Is it going to rain? You know, if it's cloudy and dark, it's probably going to rain. You're bright enough to figure that out. How come you can't look around and see what's going on and interpret that? See what he's saying? You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Now, that's those first century dumb Jews, right? No. That's us today, right now in the U.S. of A. What is going on? And what does the Lord want us to do about it? You know, we're sinking into such a morass. And we have to pray, be alert, share. I mean, when you think of it, I got to watch, I don't get too excited this morning. But when you think of it, Our Lady, the Queen of heaven and earth, reigning in unimaginable bliss, honor, glory, union with God, and she's around all over the place, Fatima, Lourdes, Cabejo, whatever, you know. Why? To tell us, you've got to pray. You Christians have got to lift the world out of the mess. That's our job. Don't you have any pity, she's saying. You know, you pick up the paper, see that they're torturing one another, see the degradation, the corruption in our own country. See, don't you feel it? And here we are in a nice comfy chapel, going to receive the body and blood of Jesus. You see? So, judge for yourself what is right. Get yourself organized before you meet the judge. And so that's what he's saying here, you see. Bargain now while the bargaining's good, and pray. This is a very beautiful, we're reaching the end now of Luke chapter 12, but you see what it's all about? But we're moving in now to Romans 8 quite soon. We began today. And you see, it's a teaching. One of the greatest... Oh, I'm not bad. one of the greatest mystics that I ever knew, and great spiritual director. And all he ever did when he first met somebody would say, "What's your relationship to the Holy Spirit?" And that's how he knew where they were. It's the same one I've told you about many times. He was called down here to Virginia. There was a woman in a wheelchair, reputation with great holiness, and the bishop wanted to know if it was real. So he called in. His name was Marius McAuliffe. He's an Irishman. So he went down and talked to her for about a half hour or so, and he comes out. "Well, what do you think? What do you think?" He said, "It's genuine. Such joy can only come from the Holy Spirit." That was his criterion. So if we do all these things, what's going to happen? We're going to have a joy in us that nobody can take from us. And a confidence even when we're scared. Okay, we better pray.